You are a singing church. Praise God for that. My church at home is also a singing church, and so I felt very much at home today. It's a joy to be here, and I'm grateful to your pastor for both his trust in me and the opportunity to bring forth God's word for you. I've been looking forward to our time together. I'm among those around the world who have admired at a great distance what the Lord is doing in your midst and how he is throwing the gospel forward from you into other places in the world. So it's a real privilege to be here today. Now, from what I understand, your pastor's in the middle of a series on the Gospel of John, although if you've just been coming recently, there are enough guest preachers in the line to make you wonder whether he'll get back to it. But yes, he is going to be in the Gospel of John, which is all about Jesus coming down. Jesus coming down from heaven, tabernacling among us, dwelling in our midst, which has some semblance then for the work that the pastors who are arriving here today will be doing this week. We will be in the book of Exodus, and likewise, Exodus, if it's about anything at all, it is about God coming down. In fact, it opens with his people groaning, and God says, "I've heard their groans, and I'm coming down." It moves quickly from the affliction of his people to his desire to come in our midst and meet our needs and deliver us. When you get to the Passover, it's an indication in the book of Exodus that he's yet coming down again to execute justice in a very unjust, unruly world, that he says he will walk in the midst of his people and execute that which their souls have longed for, desires which have been unmet. It is then the chapter of 19 in Exodus where he actually comes down on the mountain and speaks with his people. And then the remainder of the book, if that mountaintop experience wasn't enough, was the construction of a tabernacle, the purpose of which was for God to come down. It closes with his arrival. You're in the Gospel of John, where you get to see the ministry of Jesus, the fruition of God coming down in the flesh, but in the book of Exodus, don't make the mistake of thinking he isn't arriving in our lives there as well. Which brings me to our text. I encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 30. You'll find it on page 61 of the Bibles that have been provided for you. Exodus 30 concerns what did God expect to be coming back up as a result of him coming down? What is his expectation for us? More personally, what does he want from you that ascends to him as a consequence of his coming down to you? Let me read it for you. It's lengthy, but worthy of our time. Exodus chapter 30, my Bible reads this way. "You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns, and you shall make a melding of gold around it, and you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding on 2 opposite sides of it, you shall make them. And they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the ark of the testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. He shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall be given a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. You shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord so as to make atonement for your lives. The Lord said to Moses, you shall also make a basin of bronze, with it stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his offspring throughout their generations. The Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all the utensils, and the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whoever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person, and you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. Then the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stakte and ancha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. And each shall there be an equal part. And make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very small and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. And the incense that you shall make, according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use perfume shall be cut off from his people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a strange chapter. To this point in the book, everything has been centering on God coming down. Preparations for God coming down. But here, there's a change of direction. There's an indication of something going up. An expectation of what was to rise before God as a consequence of his condescension to us. The answer then, in regard to what God expects from his people in response to the coming down of his mercy and his grace, is right there in the literary composition of the chapter. I encourage you just to look at the broad sweep of chapter 30 again. The entire chapter is enveloped, both at the beginning and the end, with a perpetual offering of fragrant praise. These are the bookends of the text. The first 10 verses are given to the construction of the altar upon which incense alone will be offered. And the final verses, verses 34 to 38, you actually see the blended composition, the measure of the spices which are to make up the incense. His commitment then, as the living God, to plunge headlong from the threshold of heaven down into the world in rescue of his people was to be met by the incense, and the composition of which was here returning back into his holy presence. This is what I want to explore with you in the minutes before us today. Tell me, will you? Tell me of the composition of the blended spices in your life that make up your fragrant offering of praise. What are you offering to the Lord? The spices in verse 34 are interesting in a material sense, four in number. The first one, sweet stakti, a sap from either a balsam tree or myrrh. The sap that would come from myrrh. Ancha, this either sea snail-like composites or the resin from a particular tree. Galbanum, this gum-like resin from a Persian plant. Then frankincense. The beauty of spices. Have you ever walked into a store, and my wife likes these kind of stores especially, and you're overwhelmed at the entry with the spices that somebody has hidden just inside to welcome your presence? I don't have these spices at my disposal to offer to the Lord. We've already learned, haven't we, this morning in the readings and in the singings, that none of us can bring things to him in his presence that will clear our conscience. There's nothing that I can bring from here to there that would be worthy of his beauty, his glory, his purity, his holiness. There's a word that I would just like to share to those of you this morning who feel unrighteous, who feel unholy, who feel, actually, you know in your heart this morning, perhaps you were even brought here by God for this very reason, that you have nothing sweet enough, fragrant enough to bring into His presence. For your life, like mine, like all of those who recognize this to be true, is nothing more than filthy rags. Have you ever had rags in your kitchen that didn't get laundered soon enough, and you walk into your kitchen and suddenly the whole place smells and you're wondering, what is that smell in my kitchen? And you look in the refrigerator and there's no spoiled food, and you look in the trash bin and it's already been taken out, and then suddenly you see the washcloth that you'd been cleaning your kitchen with and it's dry, and you lift it up and you smell it and you're like, this is it. This is the problem. You either put it in the sink in the base and put hot water in it and put some cleansing soap in it, or you throw it in the washer, or you throw it out. But either way, you know this is not worthy of your kitchen. And many of us know there's nothing we have in our lives that are worthy of the presence of God. Were He to come down to us, this fragrant offering is not within us. So what do you do? How can you meet God's expectation for you when the fragrance is not within you? Well, there's a wonderful little summation verse in Ephesians chapter 5, and I would just like to read it to all of you who labor under this sense of feeling unworthy to walk into God's presence this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Isn't this beautiful? Christ gave Himself up for us, and He doesn't just say as an offering. He doesn't just say on the mercy seat. He doesn't just say through the shedding of His blood, which was, of course, just behind the veil of the altar that we read about today, where the incense was rising. And so the incense is rising here, and just beyond that is the actual mercy seat on which the sacrifice takes place. But Paul says that Christ has come and given Himself for us as a fragrant offering, as both that which was on the mercy seat and that which rises before God with all righteous pleasure. And this is perhaps for you the day of your salvation. For in your heart, you know that you can't be fragrant enough. You're well aware of your shortcomings, your failings. Let's just call it what it is. Your conscious acts, violations of duty. There's nothing acceptable before a righteous God. But God came down in Christ, and Jesus offers Himself. Let me put it as clearly as I can. When you look at Exodus chapter 30 and you come to realize that what has to go up, what He expects to go up is a fragrant offering of incense and praise, you are to see not only God in Christ coming down and being sacrificed, shedding His blood as an atonement for sin on the mercy seat, but that very act rising back up to God. And God's saying, this is acceptable in My sight. And if it's acceptable in God's sight to receive the fragrant offering of Christ, Christ is telling you today that if you place your trust in Him, not yourself, then you are acceptable in God's sight. That you do rise into His presence. That He does take joy over you, pleasure over you, provides life for you, forgiveness for you. That all the sins are, in a sense, as we've sung, washed away. I hope this morning that there are some who would exchange the unrighteous odors that emit from your life for the fragrant offering of Christ on your behalf. Let Him perfume you with that which pleases God. His death atones. And then His prayers on your behalf ascend. And God's pleasure, which rests on Him, now rests on you. That is the gospel. That is good news. And you can offer a prayer even from here where you sit that would make these truths rest upon you. Dear God, I've walked into a church in Dubai this morning. I'm quite aware of the insufficiency of anything I have within me or any composite I could make that would be acceptable in your sight. And therefore I am unworthy to ascend into your presence. But thanks be to you who have condescended to me, who have brought your Son. And I pray, Lord, that His death would satisfy your judgment upon my sin. And I pray that His fragrance would actually be bestowed upon me. I pray that you would give me the fragrance of His life. If you pray that, it is God's good pleasure to meet you this morning. That's the way you become a Christian, for no one is born one. But there's more. Trusting Christ should have an effect in ways that don't just say, "Thank God Jesus did it, and He'll continue to forgive me for all things in light of it." No, it should have an effect on you and on me that we begin to pursue the very fragrance that He has given to us. That we actually, as Ephesians 5 says, we imitate Christ who gave Himself as a fragrant offering to you. This imitation of the one that loves you. Not in order to work your way toward Him or earn your way into His presence, but as a response of all that He's done. Did you notice in the middle of the chapter, encased between this altar of incense and the recipe for the incense, are these things where the people of God are gathered in ways that you know they just can't quite get it done on their own. They have to have a temple tax annually to perpetuate the sacrifices that are needed, and you have to perpetuate the sacrifices that are needed and maintain the temple, because that blood doesn't actually do what you need it done. You have to have priests who come in and wash their hands, and they wash and they wash, and anytime they come they wash, because they are never holy, never able. There's only one high priest who washes. And you have to have, in one sense, this consecration of all the things, this anointing oil. We have to continually be trying to make things holy because we are not holy. But in the midst of all of the incompleteness and the insufficiency of God's people, in the middle of this chapter, is that fragrant incense rising up. And not only then do you trust Christ for your salvation, but you begin to imitate Christ through your fragrant offering to Him. Can I talk about this for a moment? Well, I will. I will talk about this for a moment. I want to talk about the fragrant offering of perpetual praise that you bring to Him and how you do it. First of all, you do it by prayer. This incense in the Bible is often a symbol, an emblem, a representation of prayers that are rising. David, in fact, says in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice." So he's actually alluding here in Psalm 141 to our own text in Exodus 30. He's asking that his prayers would be like incense. This is how you now arrive in the presence of God in Christ. In Jesus' name, you offer a prayer to God, and it rises before him. And it says here, his hands lifted up as the evening sacrifice. For indeed, the sacrifices were to go on in the morning and the evening. And David is basically saying, Lord, as I pray to you, may you hear me as the incense of the Scriptures. And notice, in David's world, what this prayer was like. It was a prayer where he was asking to be protected from temptation. He says in Psalm 141, "Hasten to me, give ear to my voice. Don't let my heart incline to evil or busy myself with wicked deeds." This is the offering of praise. You now standing before God saying, "Dear God, help me today to not give myself to all the things I did previously. And may you hear me. I need your help." It's not the only kind of prayers that please God. There are prayers for hope. There are many here this morning who are in the difficulties of life, and were your tears this morning of the substance of indelible ink, the faces of this congregation would be stained visibly for all to see. Men, women, children, afflictions, troubles, disasters, problems, family, hopes unmet, longings never fulfilled. Zechariah was an old pastor who had a barren wife. And in Luke chapter 1, not only had he watched his wife endure the difficulties of her barrenness over decades, but he knew the heart-wrenching realities of things in this world that don't go according to plan. And on one day, he was chosen to be the priest who would go in and offer the sacrifices and do the incense. And it says in Luke chapter 1 that he actually went into this very place that we're reading about in Exodus 30. He, having been chosen to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, Luke tells us, and there appeared to him, that is to Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, right where we're talking about today, and he says, "Do not fear, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." This is the sweet, strange, fragrant incense that God is pleased to hear from you. "Oh Lord, I want to bring before you the troubles of my wife, the longings of our family, the incompleteness of what's happening in my work." He's pleased. He's pleased to hear it. You have a Lord that sympathizes with you. This is true empathy. Of course, when he got his answer, he couldn't believe it, could he? Some of the sweet, fragrant offerings that you need to bring to the Lord in prayer are prayers for help to keep you from temptation, prayers of hope that he would meet the unmet longings of your life. if he saved you and he's concerned about the big things, never think that he's not concerned about the smallest of things too. But not only that, how about justice? As the church pleads with the Lord, it's a simple prayer. How long? How long, oh God, will you see injustice and not make it right? How long will your children be persecuted at the hands of unbelieving people and things not be made right? How long must our sufferings remain? How long? When? When, oh God? And this was the reading even today from Revelation chapter 8 with that seventh trumpet. And if it's any indication that the seventh trumpet is like the seventh bowl or like the seventh seal, then that earthquake and that finishing moment is the very conclusion of all history. And you and I can be assured that on one day, not in our life perhaps, but on one day, all the prayers of the saints will be the final concluding moment before his return and justice comes. And all of heaven will stand quiet, and the only thing that will rise are the centuries of Christians who have prayed, when? When does justice finally come? And at that moment it comes. Did you just see that? What a wonderful thing to remember. You and I might not see it in our day. But did you know that the prayer meeting in Acts preceded the preaching of the word that birthed the church, and it will be the prayers of the people that precede the final cascading judgment of God on an unbelieving world? And that's why we sing hallelujah. Yes, we will sing hallelujah on the day that justice is done, where things are made right, where your persecutions are set straight, where the sufferings of the loved ones of Jesus all over the world finally are finished and done, and we dwell in the presence of our Savior forever. These are the sweet, fragrant offerings that you bring to Christ. You lay before Him with your nose in the carpet of your own home and your hands stretched out, and you pray like David, help me. Help me in the hour of temptation. And you pray like Zechariah, I need hope for the family that you've asked me to lead. And you pray like the martyred saints, when and how long will it come? And it rises, and it rises, and he hears it, and he sees it. He tastes it. He's pleased by it. And he will unto all eternity demonstrate to you the graces of his marvelous patience as we offer our lives to him. 2 Corinthians, I believe, 2:15 or so says that we are now the fragrance of Christ. It is the fragrance of life unto some and death unto others. So, perfume yourself with the death of Christ and pray that it would bring life to others. Give your life to holiness. Give your life to trusting Him. Give your life to imitating Him. All of these things please Him. And as you do, you will know the patient pleasures of God. Our Heavenly Father, so many things in this world are not right. Hardly is there a thing that rises into your presence that meets with your pleasure. But Lord, make this church pleasing to you. May this church have all the sweet, fragrant aromas of Christ. May this church know your pleasure even in her weakness, and even in her wants, and even in her lacks, especially in her longings. And help us all, each one, to commit ourselves to trusting Jesus, that his death would be pleasing in your sight and account us righteous, and help us each one to imitate Jesus as we live lives that would please you, lives that are so different than the ones we lived before you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.